Our spoken meditation this morning was A Good Day by David Steindl-Rast. I resonate with many parts of his poem. In particular, I appreciate his emphasis that this day and each new day, indeed the arising and passing away of each present moment, each one is given. And I hear that givenness in the sense that each new day and each new moment, it's there. It's a fact. And our choice is how we will respond to it. Especially here in the D.C. metro area, there's a higher than usual concentration of those of us who are type A, highly motivated, carpe diem, seize the day, every day sorts of personalities. But Steindl-Rast is inviting us to experiment from time to time with a softer way of being in the world. What would it feel like not to always seize the day, but sometimes simply to receive the day as a gift? That notion is one among many definitions of what it can look like to practice Sabbath once a week or give ourselves permission to fully be on vacation or on a holiday. To give ourselves permission to be disconnected from technology and work and connected to the here and the now and to those immediately around us. Not seizing the day, but receiving the gifts of the present moment. Our transcendentalist forebear, Henry David Thoreau, wrote in Walden that I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately. I wanted to live deep and suck all the marrow out of life. On one hand, yes, we must resist living lives of quiet desperation. On the other hand, never ceasing to seize the day is a recipe for exhaustion and burnout. And the upcoming holiday season is a prime opportunity to practice a different way of being in the world. That word holiday is a conflation of the word holy day, where the Y has been changed to an I, and holy means set apart. So it's a day that's meant to be set apart, that's meant to be different. I'll preach a related sermon in the early summer on free time, the forgotten American dream. For now, it's appropriate that one collection of David Steindl-Rast's essays is called Common Sense Spirituality. As the New York Times has said about Thanksgiving, the most psychologically correct holiday of the year is upon us. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude has been linked to better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life, and kinder behavior toward others. And although there is deep wisdom in some of the more complex, esoteric spiritual practices from the world's religions, I appreciate Steindl-Rast's emphasis that gratitude is a simple, accessible, common sense spiritual practice that is available to us anew each day and each new moment. As Laura invited us to experience in the story for all ages, focusing on what we hate, our sources of anxiety, enervation, and alienation, feels starkly different to us, especially in our bodies. It does different things to our bodies than focusing on what we are grateful for, what makes us feel loved and connected and energized and fully alive. The singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer has written, "Every night before I go to sleep, I say aloud three things I'm grateful for. All the significant, insignificant, extraordinary, ordinary stuff of my life. It's a small practice and humble. And yet I find I sleep better, holding what lightens and softens my life. Ever so briefly at the end of the day, sunlight and blueberries. Good dogs and wool socks, a fine rain, a good friend, fresh basil and wild phlox, my father's good health, my daughter's new job, the song that always makes me cry, always at the same part, no matter how many times I hear it, decent coffee at the airport, and your quiet breathing, the story she told me, the frost patterns on the window, English horns and banjos, wood thrush and June bugs, and the smooth, glassy calm on the morning pond. An old coat, a new poem, my library card, and that my car keeps running despite all the miles. And after three things, more often than not, I get on a roll and just keep going, keep naming, keep listing until I'm grinning, blankets pulled up to my chin, awash with wonder at the sweetness of it all. I appreciate this poem from Newcomer because, as I shared with you in a Thanksgiving sermon 2 years ago on savoring the small stuff, one of my most consistent spiritual practices for more than a decade as I lay down to sleep has been to contemplatively review the past day, to really go back and savor at least three moments that I'm grateful for. And even when it's been, for the most part, a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, there are always moments of gratitude, even in those, to reorient me in that present moment and for the coming new day. For me, the benefits of this practice over time have been profound. As one of my mentors used to say, practice doesn't make perfect, but it does make permanent. What we choose to inculcate, to repeat, to rehearse, to emphasize, and focus our time and energy on, that really matters. Neurologist tells us that the neurons that fire together wire together, that we're changing our brains with what we choose to focus our time and energy on. Neuroscientists also tell us that our brain is like Velcro for negative experiences. It just latches on, and it's like Teflon for positive ones. And it typically takes 5 positive interactions to overcome the effects of a single negative one. Intentionally practicing gratitude and receiving the gifts of the day is a powerful choice that can shift our experience of this world. This past week, I delivered a well-received but quite nerdy 5,000-word paper to the annual Harper's Ferry Ministerial Study Group. And one reason I love being a UU is that we welcome an academic perspective on religion. I'm grateful for that. But Thanksgiving is a time to remind ourselves that much more important than IQ, our intelligent quotient, is what psychologists call your GQ, not your gentleman's quarterly, your gratitude quotient. What is the capacity and aptitude for gratitude that you have developed in your life? Intentionally practicing gratitude first thing in the morning or just briefly throughout the day, glancing up at the sky, taking a deep breath and thinking about what you're grateful for, or at the end of the day. Those are ways of raising your GQ. As in a Rumi poem that a colleague reminded me of this past week, today I wake up empty and frightened. Don't go to the door of a study and read a book. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty of what you love be what you do. There are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. There are 1,000 ways to come home again. Let me read it one more time. Today I wake up empty and frightened. Don't go to the door of the study and read a book. Instead, take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty of what you love be what you do. There are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. There are 1,000 ways to come home again. Or as Jane Kenyon says in her poem, Otherwise, I got out of bed this morning on 2 strong legs. We just heard this morning during the Joy and Sorrows how that can change in an instant. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, a ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birch wood, and all morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a room with paintings on the wall and planned another day just like today. But one day I know it will be otherwise. For most of us, our lives are already otherwise in many ways. Buddhism reminds us of the impermanence of all things, which can be all the more reason to be grateful for what we have right here and now. David Steindl-Rast is a Christian monk, but he has been engaged for decades in Buddhist-Christian dialogue. Those of you who remember Thich Nhat Hanh's profound book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, may recall that David Steindl-Rast wrote the foreword to that book. Speaking of Thich Nhat Hanh, he is perhaps on his deathbed and would want us to remember one of his central teachings, just to breathe and to be grateful for that in-breath and that out-breath. Next week, Bhante Sujatha, the Buddhist monk who's come many years, will be here again and will remind us again of being grateful for the present moment, to breathe in peace and to breathe out love. The opening, that call to gratitude, indeed, in David Steindl-Rast is deeply Buddhist. Indeed, the opening line of his first book on gratitude are, "This book is about life in fullness. It's about coming alive, and I could summarize this whole book in two words. Wake up." And of course, the title Siddhartha Gautama was given upon experiencing enlightenment under the Bodhi tree was the Buddha. And that title Buddha just means awakened one, one who has woken up to the deeply interconnected web that we live in and lives out of that sense of deep interconnectedness with all things. And related to the perspective of Buddhism, perpetually seizing the day can leave us mindful in the negative sense. Mind, F-U-L-L, when our mind is just full. That's bad mindfulness. In the negative sense of busyness in which our minds are saturated and overflowing. And the upcoming holiday, Holy Day season is an opportunity, as is each day, as is each moment, as is this moment, to slow down, to breathe, and to mindfully, in the best sense of that word, practice receiving the full splendor of the gifts of each day in each moment in gratitude. Steindl-Rast writes that when we start to practice receiving the world in gratitude, we become increasingly aware of the gratuitousness of this life and this world, the sheer abundance of things for which to be grateful. And it's particularly poignant that Steindl-Rast's poem that Doug read earlier, A Good Day, has been made into a short book with just a few words on each page, overlaid on top of photographs from Louis Schwarzberg. Before becoming a monk in the U.S., Steindl-Rast lived in Nazi-occupied Austria from ages 12 to 19. And regarding the common worldview that brought together this poet and photographer, Schwarzberg writes in his afterword of that book, A Good Day, that my parents were Holocaust survivors who came to this country with nothing more than the clothes on their back. They met after the war, came to America, moved to Brooklyn, had a family, and made a wonderful life. Living under their roof, I saw how they were grateful for every blessing that came their way. Sunshine, the most humble of foods, a roof over their heads, a job, and most importantly, the chance to have children. To them, that was heaven on earth. Their thankful attitude has had a profound effect on me. Through their eyes, I learned that even the smallest of things, a wildflower growing out of a crack in the sidewalk, and the ordinary things, another sunny morning, were just as important and deserving as attention as the once-in-a-while extraordinary things. They're all worthy of celebrating through the lens of gratitude. In that spirit, I'll close with a Thanksgiving Day Blessings by Starhawk. We give thanks for this good green earth and all the lives upon it. Thanks for the air, the great breath that flows from leaf to lung and back again, sustaining life. Thanks for fire, for leaping flame and glowing hearth, warmth in the cold season. Thanks for water, the life-renewing rain, the springs, the streams, the rivers, pools, and lakes, the oceans, the great womb of life. Thanks for soil and for the web of life within it, for tiny bacteria and thread-like fungus, slithering worm that nourishes the grain, the wildflower, the redwood. Thanks for the sun, for life-sustaining radiance showering down upon us each day. Thanks for the moon, the waxing and waning light that drives the tides. Thanks for the living bodies with their miraculous abilities to heal, to give and receive pleasure, to create life. Thanks for the food we eat. Thanks to all the beings whose death sustains our life. Thanks to all who tend and grow our food, who plant and harvest, who bring it to us, who cook it for us with love. Thanks for the great creative spirit that continues to invent, to play, to increase our diversity and the beauty around us. Thanks for the cycles of birth, growth, decay, and death that come back around always to regeneration. Thanks for the love and the community we share, for all the ways we express love, all the acts of kindness and compassion that weave us together. Thanks to the courage of all who stand up for the earth, and for justice, who against all evidence and all odds continue to believe in our power to make a better world. Thanks to all who say yes, yes, we will do it. We will renew the land and feed the hungry. We will face down tyrants and set the prisoners free. We will repair the damage and heal the wounds. We will learn to live with open hands and open hearts and in balance with peace. We give thanks.